Well, we're going to be emphasizing being the church this season. And today we're going to be talking about the gospel of Christmas. The gospel of Christmas. Many of us perhaps share stories or things about Christmas, and there's a lot of discussion about that in today's environment. But I want to equip you with how the gospel starts at Christmas. Amen. Everybody say the gospel of Christmas. Next week, the Lord put on my heart to share with you about the gifts that matter. Amen. So we're going to be sharing next week 7 gifts that matter the most. Because we talk about getting gifts, but what are we giving God? Amen. And what are we getting from God? All right, so the gospel of Christmas. So we're going to start with Luke chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to read down through verse 17 in the New King James Bible. And we're going to pick up here about the birth announcements of John and his mission and his ministry in life. So we're going to start at verse 5. And it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. The wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a good prophecy? Even from his mother's womb. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. How many know that's all very relevant for us today? Amen. So Zacharias, I think they got the slide up here. Let's move out of the way here. So Zacharias' pattern, posture, and prayer set the example for us of how we should all carry out the gospel of Christmas to cause transformation and remarkable impact and divine imprints in our hearts and lives. So what was Zacharias' pattern? We see here in Luke 1:8 in the Passion Translation, one day Zacharias' priestly order was on the duty and he was serving as a priest. He was chosen by the casting of lots according to the custom of the priesthood. So I want you to think about historically, the temple priests at this point in history, there may have been 20,000 active priests. in the land of Judah, in Israel. They were separated in 24 divisions. You kind of got to visualize this with me. And, of course, they divided into four to nine houses, which each served daily a rotation in the temple. Since each house included about 150 priests, they cast lots to see who would serve in the inner temple. So I'm going to show you a picture of that in a minute. And then, of course, when Zechariah was chosen by lot to serve, it may have been his only opportunity during the lifetime to trim the wicks and the lampstands and burn incense on the altar. Now, so this incense burning, you had to go inside to the inner court. Not the Holy of Holies, but the inner court. Everybody say inner court. So the time is between the closing of the book of Malachi, which was the last recorded book of the Old Testament, and the beginning of the Gospels. It is called, in theological terms, the intertestamental period. That means between the end of the Old Testament to the start of the Gospels. There was 400 years of biblical silence. Nobody heard from God. Nobody got a word from God. There was no angel visitations. It was nothing happening until the right moment. But what was his pattern? I'm going to serve God. No matter what I hear, no matter what's going on, my pattern is I'm going to do my duty with devotion and with delight. What should be our pattern today? We're taking communion to serve God. That's our first general order, right? I'm born to serve God. I'm called to serve God. I'm commanded to serve God. I'm created to serve God. And part of that is includes and entails our worship to God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We all know the phrase, I'm going about my business. I was going about my business. I was just minding my own business. This is like that, except Zechariah was basically saying, I'm going about the Lord's business. Now, when we look at the communion table and we reflect on our year, and we're here at the final month, we want to realign ourselves and say, am I going about the Lord's business? Amen. Get the picture and the priority. The gospel and the good news about Christmas begins with doing our part. It begins with keeping the priority and minding the Lord's business. Everybody know the phrase, right? What is the phrase for this season? Jesus. Okay, say it. Let's all say it together. Jesus is the reason for the season. And we say, we even throw a caveat to it, for every season, right? So are we minding the Lord's business? What's the Lord's business? The good news. Telling people about why is this big, this is the big season. And so that's what we're going to share next week about a list, because what happens during this season? People have office parties, Christmas parties, white elephant parties. They have, you know, in Thanksgiving, they have Friendsgiving and Friend Christmas. You know, they meet up with different family and friend groups and they exchange gifts. And sometimes that becomes the emphasis or the priority or the purpose. But what's the real reason? Okay, y'all afraid to say it? We got secret agents outside going to spy on us. What's the real reason?
Jesus.
I know it's a busy season. And people get hustled and bustled about that. But I want you to learn from Zechariah's pattern. He was on duty. He wasn't derelict in duty. Amen. What was Zechariah's posture? Look at verse 9. So the honor fell upon Zechariah to enter into the holy place and burn incense before the Lord. The Voice translation says he has been selected from all the priests by the customary procedure of casting lots for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to enter into the sacred precincts of the temple. There he burned sweet incense. So if you study incense in the Bible, God smells worship. God sees worship. God senses worship. He went into the holy place to worship. Amen. And he had to do it correctly because, you know, it could have consequences. If you lit strange fire or the wrong incense before the Lord. Back in the day. That's back in the day. So he had to be intentional. He was intentional. He was submissive. He was obedient. We have to be intentional. We have to be submissive. We have to be obedient. It's the same way we should approach the Christmas season and the gospel of Christmas. It's preparation for a supernatural advent. Anybody heard the word advent? So we can follow Zechariah's motto here. He's expecting something to come. And advent, as we see here at the bottom, is the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. How would church be different? How would life be different in our weeks if we were expecting Jesus to show up? How would we prepare? How intentional would we be? How submissive and obedient to do our duties? Would anybody have to remind us to open our mouth and pray and prepare the room for the coming of the King? Praise God. Would somebody have to jolt us with a jolt of electricity and say, wake up and pray in the spirit and let's get ready. Let's prepare the atmosphere because God is showing up. Somebody say praise the Lord. What was Zechariah's and Elizabeth's prayer? Look at verse 10. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Corporate prayer. They knew it was time for worship. They knew it was time and expectation for God to show up. Now listen to me. They had what? They had it really worse. They had 400 years of silence. But they were still worshiping with faith and expectation. They still were worshiping with faith. And some people wait, well, this year's been, fill in the blanks. Frustrating, rough, troublesome, burdensome. It's been a hard year. But where's your faith the first of December, first Sunday in December? Where's your expectation for God to show up? To God to show out, for the King of glory to come in, for the Ancient of Days to come in. Are we like Zechariah and Elizabeth with faith and expectation that God any moment will come and visit and manifest? Amen. So the prophecy in our opening text was indeed an answer to prayer, but wasn't on their terms. Because, see, sometimes people want God to show up, and, And they only have a finite view or a finite expectation of what God wants to do. So they think God's going to throw them against the wall. And, oh, we want to see the smoke, the glory cloud. We want to see angels flooding in the room with our physical eyes. The idea here is to have faith and to have expectation. Leave the details up to the Lord. Leave the details up to the Lord. Just have faith and expectation that God, you're going to move. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know what, in what manner, but I'm expecting. I'm expecting. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. All right, let's, so, you know, we got different things that happen this year. We know different things that sometimes it's worth some convenience and worth some sacrifice to say, God, I know you hadn't manifested, moved in that area yet, but I'm still coming. Seeking you, I'm just translating this to your personal life or your personal devotion. I'm still seeking you. I'm still expecting from you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And Father God, I know you're never late. You're always on time. He's always, always, always on time. You're an on-time God. So I'm not going to act like I'm losing my faith and I've switched over to fear. Because what does faith do? Faith expects. Faith prepares. Faith gets ready. Amen. And so he was acting like, I'm ready for you, God. For you to come. His heart was ready. His hands were ready. His habits were ready. He was ready for God to come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we are preparing for the arrival of who? Jesus. Now, it's been said, you know, I want our leader, our founder of our Bible college, he was supposed to be called John because he was supposed to be the forerunner of the second coming. Jesus' second coming, or some people call it second advent. The first advent has already occurred. They had to prepare. There had to be a people who will prepare the way of the Lord. The leader was John. You know, Dad Hagin was supposed to be called John. That was his name. Matter of fact, many people witnessed and said in heaven, that's what they call him, John, because that's what he was supposed to have been called. He was supposed to be the forerunner of the second coming. Well, we're closer to that time when Jesus is coming soon. But the question we all have to ask ourselves, are we acting like Zechariah and Elizabeth? Is our faith preparing? Is our faith getting ready? Is our faith expecting? All right, next slide, guys. So this is just a visual. This was the Old Testament tabernacle. I know there was a temple by that time, but this is the one I can find real quick to put in here. But so this is what Zechariah was doing as a priest. It was located in an inner court, and this is where they would do sacrifices of worship and prayer. Now go to the next slide, because see the altar of incense there. This was in the outer court. This is what they did sacrifices for sin. People would bring things from turtle doves and those kind of things to full-blown bulls. So this is where they would burn sacrifices for sin offerings in the outer court. It's just a pattern for what's already patterned in heaven. Amen? And so Jesus became the sacrifice for us. Now let's go to the next slide. You can kind of see how it was. The next. So you can see how they went from the outer to the inner, and then this was the Holy of Holies. That's kind of how the temple was made as well. So everybody see that, amen? But I want to remind all of us on this Communion Sunday that we're in the priesthood too. We are just like Zechariah. We have been created as a kingdom of priests, as newborn, recreated Christians. Amen. So every Christian is a priest, not to offer sacrifice for sins, because Jesus did that for us. He did it all for us. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. So since that has been done once and for all, but offering his person, praise, and possessions is what we do. What do we offer? Our person, our praise, and possessions. We saw that when Fred was teaching on the offering. He did a great job of that. Amen? We have to sacrifice our possessions. So it's interesting to me that people don't feel like, well, I don't have to give money. I don't want what you get to, and you should sacrifice your possessions to the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because God honors sacrifice. The first sacrifice should be the 10%. Amen? Now, in 1 Peter 2, 5, 9, these are some other notes I had. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Who are? He's talking to us. Everybody say, I am. His holy priest. So some people came out of a certain religion or denomination, and they say, threw away priest. But no, there's human priests in certain organizations. They call them by title, but we are holy priests by creation. New creation in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I'm in the priesthood. So just like Zechariah, we're still supposed to do what priests do, which is offer sacrifices of yourself, the person, of your praise and thanksgiving and worship, and your possessions. So he says here in Peter that we are holy priests through the mediation of Jesus Christ to offer up spiritual sacrifices that please God. That's 1 Peter 2:5. And then in verse 9, it says the same chapter, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest. Now you're a holy priest, but you're royalty. Everybody say, I'm a royal priest. A holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. He called you out of darkness into this wonderful, his wonderful light. Now, let me give you two more verses. Revelations 1, 5, and 6. Revelations 1, 5, and 6. He says, and from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us. Everybody say, I have been made. Come on, everybody say, I have been made. He's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we've now entered into a kingdom of kings and priests. Everybody say, that's me. He made us kings and priests unto us, our God. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Now, to get it right, Jesus became our intercessor and our sacrifice for sins. Keep that in mind. Now let's read this. We see Luke 2, 8 through 12. That night were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. In other words, if Christ's words had stopped with his incarnation, it would have been remarkable, but not redemptive. But he didn't stop there, did he? Amen? It's remarkable because Jesus came down manifest in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. And many of us see a semblance of the nativity scenes, and we think, wow, that's remarkable. But he didn't come as a baby to say, oh, look at that cute baby. That cute baby Jesus. We have to think the gospel. We have to think this baby came to live and then die for my sins and the sins of the whole world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So many of us love the joy of Christmas season, but when we fall to the lie that Jesus came to deliver twinkly lights and sparkling bows. Look at the lights. We missed the big point and the purpose for this season. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Next slide, guys. Next slide. So what does he say? Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth, talking about Mary, a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will do what? Save his people from their sins. So the outer court was done. All that was done by Jesus, the sin offering once and for all. He carried his blood into the heavenly holy holies and sanctified the heavens up there, made it ready to take people from paradise up to the third heaven where God lives. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What can wash away our sins? Blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So as a kingdom of priests, we now have the responsibility to do spiritual sacrifices. Not the sacrifice for sins, because that's Jesus and his job, and he did it perfectly. He did it all alone for us. He was our substitute. He was our sacrifice. Amen? Everybody get the picture? But our job is now to live as a kingdom of priests, to offer up sacrifices of ourselves, our praise and worship, and our possessions. So that's what we're taking communion about today. We got to get back to that priority, that pattern, that practice. Can somebody say amen? So the name Jesus is a combination, as we say, of Hebrew, Hosea, and Greek, Joshua, meaning God as our Redeemer has come. But he came to live so that he could die for us. Amen. And so in Jesus' great name, we discover and discern his great purpose. Jesus came to redeem us. He came to restore us back to God. He came to replace us by becoming our substitute and our sacrifice. In other words, he came to die our death. He came to pay the price for our ransom and redemption for our sins. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So Jesus' birth gives us, by Jesus' birth, God, our Heavenly Father, was screaming out loud and clear, Christ was born for this. Don't just get caught up in saying, look cute, that's a great looking, even if they have a live nativity scene, so to speak. Don't just go up there and say, well, that's a cute baby, just like the baby Jesus. That's when the gospel began. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He was born for this. Remember it. We rejoice in it. We receive it. Amen. So our fractured marriages, rebellious children, our secret sins, our relational turmoil and trauma, our broken emotions, our dysfunctional thinking, our disease and debilitating bodies, our financial failures, our overwhelming burdens and lack. Jesus was born to do what? Save sinners. Worst of all, the worst of us, and redeem our hard, sad, and impossible situations. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, so Jesus, as the great high priest, came to be a bridge, a gap between God and sinful man. So that's why we say he's the reason for the season, but it was a manger. He carved the cross out of a manger. So he became a bridge. Man needed someone to stand in the gap for him to help us get back to God. He needed an intercessor, a sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice established him as the only fully trustworthy intercessor for mankind. He's the only intercessor for the people on this planet. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man what? Only one mediator. Everybody say one mediator. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not Hare Krishna. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not other religions. It's not other ways. There's only one way. Somebody say one way. So some people say, well, happy holidays. Or they say Merry Xmas. I think that's offensive, and I think that's dishonoring. You can't take Christ out of Christmas. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And you can't replace Christ by saying happy Kwanzaa. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good today. So what do we have to do? We have to go back and be the ones who say, Lord, at your table, I recommit and dedicate my life to give you me. I give you me, not some of me, all of me. Every day and in every way, without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. I'm your living sacrifice. Praise God. And I dedicate my life like Zechariah to do my duty. I'm not going to come up short on my praise. I'm not going to come up short on my worship. I'm not going to be a praise miser. I'm not going to slide in and refuse to sing to you, Lord, to say thank you to you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to be a priest in my home. I'm going to be a priest on my job. I'm going to be a priest to you everywhere I go, because everywhere I go, I'm going to give you thanks. I'm going to give you praise. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. I'm going to give you honor. You're going to hear my voice, Lord. I'm going to be a vessel of praise and a vessel of worship, a vessel of thanksgiving. When I'm riding in the car in traffic, stuck in the traffic, when it seems frustrating, I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm going to yield to faith and begin to praise you. And I'm going to give you my possessions. Well, that's hard. Especially when you feel obligated. I got to get everybody this and this, and I got to save my money for this. No. I don't want to do that. That table's inviting us. Give them the wallet. Because that's hooked to your heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If it costs me sacrifice, I'm okay with the sacrifice. Remember what he told the Philippian church? Paul did by the Holy Spirit. This is a sacrifice of giving. Well, is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And it's a sweet-smelling savor, just like incense. It's a smells good. Read Acts chapter 10. Cornelius did what? He says his prayers, he wasn't even a covenant guy. His prayers and his money came up before God. That means God saw him and he smelled him. Oh, because his alms was so generous. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Don't put God on a budget. That means you limit what he can do for you. Don't put God on salary. This is how much you get, Lord. You're on a budget. I'm on a budget, so this is how much you get, Lord. Don't put him on salary. We got to elevate God up to partner. Unlimited. Praise God. Somebody say praise God. Somebody said glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this, another verse here. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered into a holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but heaven itself. He appeared in heaven to appear in the presence of God for us. He did the sin offering. That's why we show forth his death till he comes. Jesus entered heaven to appear in the presence of God for us. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen and is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He is our intercessor at the right hand of the Father. So what are we saying? We're calling us all back into the priesthood. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. His divine power, the Lord Jesus's, can never cease for one moment. He wants us to carry, catch, and convey that power. Today, somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he's our advocate, he's our intercessor, he's our counselor. Let's see. Christ was not born for tinsel leaves, though they are beautiful. I love the computer bread. I love the trees and the decorations and all that. That's great. But because we are a people walking blindly in the darkness of sin, people around us and in desperate need of great light, we have to be that light today. Amen. The table of the Lord, the communion, should reflect our heart and soul reaching up to God, worship, in honor and awe, remembering that Jesus Christ came to redeem us, restore us with his broken body and his shed blood. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now I'm going to read the 1 Corinthians. And we're going to receive communion. Y'all get something out of that today? I know we know this, but sometimes we have to remind it. Don't get caught up in the commercialization and the creative decorations of Christmas. And that's okay to do, but don't put that as the primary priority, please. Everybody got that? Praise the Lord. We got to be the church. We got to build the church. We got to let people know. This is a great opportunity for us to let people know. Jesus is the reason for the season. This is good news that he came. Amen. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So when we take the communion, we remember who? Him. First of all, remember that he died for our sins. His body was broken for us. Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup and supped after supper and saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you shall proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner. Unworthy manner means I have a spirit of division and disunity. That means I don't want to see it that way. I want to see it my way. I don't want to do things that way. That's why we say the cause we're taking communion today is to reclaim and reprioritize our priesthood. We're going to do what? Give God ourselves. Because our responsibility is to give us as a person. Our responsibility is, like Zechariah, is to give our praises. And then our possessions. This should be the most generous season in our lives. Amen? Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so he said, unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so him let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh in an unworthy manner, the second way to do in an unworthy manner is to have a spirit of rebellion and disobedience. An unworthy manner or disobedience can be delayed or partial. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. God doesn't want partial praises, partial thanks. God doesn't want just a part of you. He wants all of you. God doesn't just want the sacrifice of your possessions. He wants complete. He doesn't want you to say, well, give me 3 months. I'm going to give on an installment. No, he wants you to put it all in, what he's put in your heart. Praise God. Amen. And then willful obstinance is disobedience, or opposition to God's will and way working in your life is also disobedience, a spirit of rebellion and disobedience. This is where we get it back right. This is where we get it lined up. This is where we get into a posture like Zechariah. We show up early, we show up on time and say, we're ready and expecting you, Father God. Even if we hadn't heard anything in 400 hours. Now, 400 years is a long time. Many of us won't live that long. But 400 years of biblical silence, 400 hours. I hadn't heard from God in a while, but we're going to show up early. We're going to show up prepared. We're going to show up ready and expecting. Somebody say hallelujah. And willing to give what? All of myself. All of my praise and worship. And the possessions he's tapped in my heart to give. Without hesitation, without reservation or limitation. Everybody got it? He said, so whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That means you're out of alignment and you're not in agreement. So get in alignment. Get in agreement. We got to be a kingdom of priests. When it's time to pray, we pray. We pray like heaven's coming up and showing up tomorrow in the next hour. When it's time to praise, we praise without abandon. We just go for it. We stop being reserved or reclusive or withholding. Amen. Heaven and this hotel should hear our praises. Our voices should be resounding through the rooms. People should feel like God's coming in this room. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Why? They didn't discern the Lord's body. When we take communion, there's a covenant that we reestablished. There's a connection with God that we reaffirm. There's a commitment to God in the church that we recommit to. We take the communion and we say, Lord, I'm willing and I'll be obedient. Praise God. I'm in alignment and agreement with your will. Praise the Lord. He said, for if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So this is the time to do it. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask our connection care team, whoever's doing the communion, to get ready to pass it around. And I want you to, guys, you can play the music. I want you to do some self-reflecting right now. Hallelujah. Judge yourself. I already got mine. You can go ahead and pass it around. And as you hold the communion cup in your hand, just begin to remember Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. No 50%, 100%. We're in it 100%. I'm in the ministry. I'm in the priesthood. I'm accepting my, reestablishing my, that I'm going to give you my person. I want you to reflect right now. Don't have to open the cup yet. Don't open the cup yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We got some music coming. When we function as priests, I want you to be thinking about, I offer myself, including my body, to God. When we function as priests,